Well, weren't these happy words, huh? It's the end of the world. Kind of fills your heart with that Christmas spirit of joy and excitement as we start Advent. Well, here's the deal. Jesus was not talking about the ultimate end of the world. He is describing the end of an era, which is followed by a new era, a new time. Oh, it might feel like a death, it might feel scary, but after that death, there is new life, resurrection. Yet, when we hear words like this, we might be filled with fear and dread, and you know there is no shortage of people who pretend to be able to use the Bible to predict the future, especially bad things. But in fact, that's not what this book is for. Jesus said, when people are afraid, when they feel confused, when you see distress among nations and so on, that whole list, he said, when you see those things, know that the kingdom of God has come to you. It is near. Well, all these things are going on right now, aren't they? And they have been ever since Jesus was around. So do you see what that means? It means we don't need to wait for some time in the distant future. It means the kingdom of God has already begun. It is already here. It is with us all the time. So Jesus says, don't get so wrapped up in worry and work and all your own stuff so that you miss it when it comes. Remember, the kingdom of God is not only heaven when we die. It is heaven on earth now, today. But because the world has lied to us so often and so long, we have a hard time hearing anything else. So to be clear, the kingdom of God is heaven on earth now. It has started to break into the world, but it is nowhere near complete. And it gets better. The kingdom of God is in you. The kingdom of God is in you, and God trusts you and me to carry it into the world. Jesus said signs that the kingdom of God is near are things that make people afraid. Well, what are we waiting for? Roughly 200,000 people, 200,000 people in Milwaukee County don't have enough to eat in America, in this land of plenty. There's been a 15% rise in the homelessness rate just in the city of Milwaukee. In the last year, in 2017, there's been a 20% increase in white supremacist and self-identified Nazi groups. Heroin epidemic to the point where life expectancy has dropped almost a whole year. Plus wars and saber rattling and floods and earthquakes. When you see these things, Jesus said, no, the kingdom of God is here. These are signs of times that need to end. Times of prophets over people teaching hate and exclusion. So Jesus said, when things look bad, don't hide. Don't crawl in a knee hole of your desk. Stand up and look around. See the times around us where we need to bring the kingdom of God. So how? Well, feed the hungry. Stand up to hate. Stand up to blaming the poor and the powerless, the wanderer and refugees for problems they did not create. Stand up for truth and justice. Call out lies for what they are. They are lies, no matter how often you repeat them. Jesus is the truth. The old times need to pass away, and a new time has begun. And it comes first in Jesus, and now it comes in us through you and me, not with words alone, but with intentional love, sacrifice, hospitality, and serving those in need. You know, I wonder sometimes if we've been tempted to over-spiritualize our faith. Isn't that a surprise hearing from a preacher, huh? I over-spiritualize our faith. What I'm talking about is either assuming God only works in huge earth-shaking ways with lightning and thunder and stars falling from the skies and all that, so that we miss the ways God continues to come into the world in normal, ordinary ways. Like, say, I don't know, a baby born to parents without a home. Or sometimes we say faith is purely private and personal. It's a thing between God and us. A God who we want to serve us and agree with us. Well, truth is, faith is personal. In getting our lives back, when we are forgiven, when we are loved to the core by the one who made us and gives us life, being loved by the one who sacrificed himself for us, that's about as personal as it gets. But it is not private. Faith is not lived alone. Faith means trust and relying on God for everything, not only for our physical needs, but for every part of our being. And privatizing and over-spiritualizing our faith leads us to shove our relationship with God into a little corner of our lives along with our Christmas decorations in January. We over-spiritualize our faith when we reduce the way of Jesus to rules and personal morality and piety, even though Jesus didn't say much about that. Remember, Jesus taught us to love God by loving our neighbors. This is the Jesus who did not say, put the Ten Commandments on the courthouse lawn. He said, if you have two coats, give one to somebody who has none. Love your enemies. Give to the poor, and you will build up treasures in heaven. And then there's my favorite, when Jesus' words, the poor will always be with you, are taken out of context as an excuse and as permission to be indifferent and uncaring toward the poor. We over-spiritualize our faith when our focus is on a privatized attempt to save ourselves and making the cut into heaven when we die. No wonder Christians are called hypocrites. You know, maybe over-spiritualize is the wrong word, because the net effect is to under-spiritualize our faith where we know about it, but we can't be bothered to live our faith. But if we remove our faith from intentionally serving and loving others, it robs us of the opportunity to feel God's power flowing through us. Now, part of it is it's not our fault. The problem is we've been lied to. You know how it is. If you hear a lie long enough, we start to believe it and we assume it's true. Or we just get wearied into submission. Now, the loudest voice tells us if we want to feel important, we need to do more, and we need to get more stuff. We'll be happy and content. Well, that worked, right? We can spend so much time and energy trying to get a life. We don't have a life. We've been lied to. And when we're surrounded by lies, we start to believe them. Jesus doesn't lie. Jesus is the truth, and he leads us to the greater truth in two directions. First direction for us is to lead us back to God, to be surrounded and overwhelmed and filled with the unconditional love that exceeds our ability to describe it, a forgiveness that forgets our sins, removes our guilt, and makes us clean. The other direction Jesus takes us is back into the world without being defined by it. Jesus leads us into the world to live our faith, to stand up to hate and racism and violence and profits at the expense of people and bullying. Not in order to earn our way into heaven, but because the kingdom of God already lives in us and it is aching to get out. We are the places and the people where God's miracles of hope and healing happen today, and they happen through us. So I bring all this up because Advent begins today. This is not a time to get ready for Christmas. If you're wondering, it's the 24th and 25th. We know that. No, this is a time to prepare ourselves for God to enter us more fully, to feel and taste and experience God coming to us and into us, not with threats, but with love, peace, the promise of forgiveness, and new life that is just waiting to be shared, that needs to be made real for others to feel real for us. The world needs a new time. When we see awful things around us, Jesus says, don't hide. Raise your heads. Look up. Get busy. God has begun this time in us, and God wants us to carry it into the world. So be ready. Prepare by loving, sharing, bringing healing and hope.